Well, thank you very much first to Sophia Elijah. I want to thank her very much for being here today. I want to thank her very much for the help she did on our Raise the Age Commission, which came up with a very intelligent, comprehensive product that we're now trying to get passed through the legislature. So I want to thank her very much. President Michael Powers and all the members of NYSCOBA, the correction officers in this state do a fantastic job under very, very difficult circumstances. Most New Yorkers don't have experience walking through a prison facility or corrections facility. If you did, you can just feel how intimidating and frightening and threatening an environment that is. Correction officers are always outnumbered, they are truly in a dangerous situation, and they put their life in harm's way to protect New Yorkers. They are in many ways the unsung heroes of our corrections system. So I want to thank them, and I want to thank President Powers very much for his good work and his good words, but also all the members of NYSCOBA. The Alfonso David you heard from, who is our counsel, who's been doing great work on the Raise the Age and a number of other projects. We also have with us Superintendent Brandon Smith of this facility and Commissioner Anthony Annucci, who runs the entire corrections system in the state of New York, which is probably one of the toughest commissioners' positions we have. That's why he gets the big bucks. Tony Annucci, I always tell him, and he always tells me I'm wrong. He's doing a great job nonetheless. When it comes to the correction system in New York, it is truly a system in transition, and it's a system where we are continually learning. And the challenge is in many ways continually changing. You look at the correction system over the past 25 years, it has gone through a number of different manifestations. The challenges go up and down with the demographics. Challenges go up and down with the crime rate, obviously. Challenges go up and down with the drug situation and the drug of choice. I remember during the crack epidemic, where it just appeared, the problems in the prison skyrocketed. President mentioned my father. I remember during my father's tenure, you had a big demographic wave. You had crack cocaine, and the number of people who were sentenced to prison skyrocketed, and the growth in the prison population skyrocketed, and the growth in building prisons skyrocketed. Number of prison cells my father constructed, I believe, was more than any governor in the history of the state, because that was the need at the time. In many ways, we have mixed currents right now. The population in our prisons is actually coming down. That is a good thing. We do not want people in prison. That is never a good thing. And the population is coming down. Why? Demographically, the wave of younger people who are more inclined to commit crimes. We heard from Sophia about the impulse mentality. That number is coming down demographically. Number two, you have the Rockefeller drug law reforms that have gone into place, which had a dramatic difference and made a dramatic change on the correction system. Frankly, more dramatic than I think we anticipated. You went from 24,000 people who were convicted under the Rockefeller drug laws down to 18,000 people left the system. Those 18,000 people tended to be nonviolent drug offenders. When you took out the 18,000 nonviolent drug offenders, that made the remaining population, by definition, more violent and more difficult, because you were taking out the inmates who were less violent. So now when you're dealing with a prison that has a population of 500, they're a different 500 than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, before the Rockefeller drug law reforms. So we're seeing a number of different and in some ways contradictory patterns. We see the prison population coming down we see the number of assaults on correction officers going up. How can that be if the population is coming down? I think a theory is Rockefeller drug law changed the characteristics. As President Powers mentioned, you have synthetic marijuana that is very hard to detect, that is a very powerful drug, that is very difficult to keep out of a prison in terms of contraband control, and has a dramatic effect on the inmates, which makes them hostile, makes them very hard to control. So a more violent population, a outburst increase in synthetic marijuana coming into the prison system, you put these two things together, that is TNT, you see the number of assaults on correction officers increasing. What are we doing about it? Department of Corrections has come up with some new creative alternatives. The new SMART teams that the department has put in place, I think, are very helpful. More with technology, more with camera surveillance, a better job on contraband interdiction, on visitors coming into the facility. And then the one thing that always works, in my opinion, increase the staffing. More correction officers. And that's why this year we increased the number of correction officers in the state of New York by 100. And I'm proud of that, because for sure, more staffing is going to make a difference. But it is an evolving situation. We have more work to do. And it's one of the reasons I'm here, to find out firsthand from the quote-unquote real experts, people who are on the ground, what's going on, how can we help, what should we be doing. And I appreciate and thank the correction officers who took time to be with me today, and to Mr. Smith and Commissioner Annucci for taking the time to give me this tour. We have a second, different but related problem, which is the issue of 16-year and 17-year-olds in the criminal justice system. As you heard from Alfonso David, two states in the nation treat 16 and 17-year-olds as adults: North Carolina and the state of New York. And that is something that has to be changed. 16 and 17-year-olds going into a state facility that has older, violent criminals is not a good mix. Taking a 16 and 17-year-old who is just beginning his or her life and putting them in a prison situation where we do the best we can to provide services, but this is not going to be a positive experience, and they're not going to be associating with positive people. In my opinion, it is too early to condemn a 16-year-old to a life without redemption. So we proposed a law called Raise the Age that would say, take 16 and 17-year-olds who are nonviolent, treat them in family court, and get them into a different type of facility while they're still young enough to learn a different way and a different path, and get them the skills and get them the education and give them the second chance to make something of yourself. Why? Because it's the right thing to do by them on a human level. Invest in people is what we believe in as a society. Why do we pay for public education? Because we believe it's in society's interest to invest in you and give you an education so you're a productive member of society. That's why we pay for education. So you have a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, made a mistake, bad choice, bad judgment, bad act, try to give them a skill in education so you can actually improve their lives. Secondly, let's say I reject your argument as to morality. Okay, try selfishness. Do you really want to pay for a prison cell for a 16-year-old for the rest of their lives? Do you really want to pay $40,000, $50,000 per year for 50 years to incarcerate that young person? On a human cost level, on an economic cost level, it makes sense to do the rehabilitation, and that's what Raise the Age is all about. Now, the Senate and the Assembly are debating the bill. Surprise, surprise. I'm asking them to reach a compromise position. I'm asking them to reach the compromise position this session because I think it would be a shame and a tremendous lost opportunity for them to leave this session knowing that they're leaving 16 and 17-year-olds in state facilities where they not only are receiving the services they need and the help they need, but they are also being subjected to a much more violent population than they've ever been subjected to before. We saw some 16 and 17-year-olds who looked like children. Now, I'm not unrealistic and I'm not delusional, and I understand 16 and 17-year-olds can do bad things as a 30 and a 40-year-old. But I also know these are really young people who in many ways can be preyed upon in a situation like this. And that's not right. And that's not what we're about, not in the state of New York. And that's something that has to be remedied immediately. So even if the Senate and Assembly can't agree on everything, they must agree to get the 16 and 17-year-olds out of state facilities and into discrete facilities where they're getting the services they need, the care they need, and they are among their own peers as opposed to being with much hardened criminals. And those are two of the issues we're going to be working on. Again, I thank the commissioner, I thank Mr. Smith, I thank President Powers for their time, correction officers who spent time talking to us, and the inmates who spent time talking to us. Any other questions or comments on this matter or anything else, be my pleasure.